Brothers and sisters, peace upon you. It is so good to see you here. first time here to preaching. Thanks God for allowing me seize the chance to share God's words today with you. When Pastor Sam is not here. So let's begin with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for you are great. Yeah, that you let our lives make difference because of you. We pray that your spirit would move freely among us and fulfill your good work. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some who like the Christian life to a spectacle to the world, to angels, to men. The world doesn't understand God's love, but when a Christian offers a helping hand, a shoulder to cry on, and weeps with those weep, the world sees God's love. The world doesn't have the internal hope, but when it sees that a Christian rejoices even in trial, and their heart are filled with peace, the world sees God is with them. God wants us to become a spectacle so that the truth may become reality before the world's eyes. There are also those who like the Christian life to writing a diary. Life is like a book. Each one of us not only read a book that gives life, and the Bible, but also writes the book of our lives. For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ, and our life's meaning not in pursuit of self-realizations, but in the hope of Christ's realization. Still, others liken the Christian life to building of a house, spouting of a sea, the composition of a work of music, and so on and so forth. Regardless of the analogy, the principle behind it is the same. The Christian life is a process. As part of this process, the Holy Spirit use all kind of circumstances that we encounter in the life to work in us, in order to make our lives be transformed and we become more like Jesus. Also, our relationship with the Lord are transformed and we grow closer to God and love Him even more. So, how would you describe the Christian life? Personally, I like thinking of the Christian life as a journey from station to station. Every station comes with its special experience and meaning, but none of these stations would be the terminus. The terminus isn't the terminus isn't means when we die. The terminus of our spiritual journey is when we inherit our blessing in Christ Jesus and experience that kind of contentment and the peace of mind, and that's unspeakable joy. Our scripture today is taken from Acts chapter 20, which record Paul's third missionary journey. This mission started in Antioch in Syria, had its focal point in Ephesus, and lasted 3 years, during which many Gentiles was brought to Christ. At the end of the journey, even though Paul knew that there were chains waiting for him, he still aimed to bring along the collection from believers throughout the lands and return to Jerusalem. So during these 3 years, missionary journey, Paul visits many cities there, sometimes stay for a day, sometimes a week, sometimes 3 months, such as in Greece, and even stayed in Ephesus for 2 years. In there, he writes the book of Galatians during that time. So today we will follow Paul's footsteps and discern the principle that under God's guidance over our journey of life, hoping that no matter how long we have had this faith, and no matter what circumstances we are in now, so whether we be in school as at work, with our family, or in church, we can be someone who keeps ascending, continue to grow in life, and please the Lord. So let us first read the passage again from the Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. So can we have our brothers and read the even number verses, and our sisters read the odd number verse. Please.
And now I am compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there.
Sorry. I only know that in time after time, the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions await me.
But I consider my life of no value to me, if only I may finish my course and complete the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus, the ministry of testifying to the good news of God's grace.
Oh, thank you. So I can look there. let's look at the first principle of, let's look at the first principle of God's guidance, vision and mission. So Paul knew that the Holy Spirit had shown him chains and suffering ahead, but he was not afraid because he knew that this life was to fulfill the vision and mission from God. So he was steadfast in his resolve. When we look at Jesus, the time came for him to go to the cross. He set his face toward Jerusalem so that nothing would prevent him from accomplishing Father's will. So if you know that God wants you to do, set your sights resolutely toward that goal for a full determination to accomplish it. Your determination to everything God leads you to do will be a witness to those around you. A life with a mission, so that we will not to run or labor in vain. Although our life, our daily life, seems like we are doing something repeatedly, a routine, agenda, go to school, go to work every day, go to church every Sunday. But however, we don't go around in circle, but like going up a spiral staircase. Even though we may have similar experience, recurring in the course of our life, with every recurrence, our stage of being, our perspective, our value are all different. Because we are always moving upwards. I accept Jesus in 2011, and in 2016, God used a passage from the book of Ezekiel, right, to call me to full time to serve Him and pastorship His church. But at that time, I was still waiting for a sign from God, and it was a snow tech actions. This was until one Saturday morning in 2017, yeah, when I was taken to the emergency at VGH for severe pain in the abdomen, and it was fine to have a 9.7 centimeter cyst in my right ovary. So, but thanks God, with His protection and His mercy, the cyst didn't rupture. Yeah, otherwise it could have resulted in a life sweetened, peritoneal infection. But when I was ill, my heart was at peace, as I felt that nothing compared to being able to see the face of our Lord. But at that time, the Holy Spirit reminded me God's calling to me. Then I said to the Lord, I says, "Oh, I'm surrendering myself altogether to You. May You use my life without reserve. For this life was given to me by You." So 2 years later, began my journey as a pastor. There's a certain recurring cycle to the life of pastoring, preparing sermons, leading fellowships, teaching Sunday school, attending meetings, caring people, and so on. But I always encourage myself to bring passion to every service, to cherish it as if it is my first, and to be sober and enthusiastic minded as if it's my last, my first. So a life with a vision and mission, a life with a vision and mission makes you resolute, as Proverbs says, Let your eyes look straight and fix your gaze directly before you. The second principle of God's guidance is that our course is one that has never been taken before. So as today's verses 22, Paul says, I am not knowing what will be happen to me there. J.C. Penlewis once wrote that there is a course prepared for each believer, and to discover that course and fulfill, it is the one duty of every soul. I feel very sorry about is that okay with everyone? There is a course prepared for each believer to discover the course and fulfill. It is the one duty of every soul. Brothers and sisters, do you know that the course you are on today was made for you by God? Fanny Crosby became blind 6 weeks after he was born due to a physician's error. When asked whether you would blame the physician's responsibility for her plight, she replied that not only would she not blame him, she would be thankful that the first face and should ever gladden her sight would be that work of her Savior. Instead of being bitter, grumbling, or unhappy, she wrote over 9,000 hymns over the course of his life. She said that all the way my Savior leads me, I know wherever before me, Jesus does all things well. So may God give us that kind of pure and simple faith. God isn't casual. God isn't casual about his guidance. God isn't casual about his guidance. Rather, he has his good, pleasing, perfect will, and he guides us to move forward from station to station. Numbers 20:10 verses 12 says that the people of Israel set out by stages from the wilderness of Sinai, and the crowd settled down in the wilderness of Paran. The words, notice the words, set out by stages, show that God has his perfect will in all things. Even when the people of Israel were being disciplined by God in the wilderness, they were still in God's plan and God was still guiding them. The Israelites passed 42 stations during their exodus from Egypt, and their journey in the wilderness, they had all kinds of experiences, including experience of triumph, such as in the Battle of Rephidim. But God did not tell us always stay living in the triumph and reminisce about every victory every day, for the triumph is Jericho does not guarantee a victory in I. We should humbly trust in the Lord in all our heart and no linger in the memory of our past or the plight of victory. The Israelites also had experienced a failure, such as in Kadesh Barnea, but God did not tell us to always live in the shadow of failure either. Today, many people deal with a cursing conscience, and their souls cannot something be untethered and free before the Lord. Before the failures in the past keep casting shadows over them, the corruption and weakness of our past that are so unbearable to record are often used by our enemy to condemn us. But God did not tell us to stagnate in failure. God taught us come out and continue to go forward. If we have our backs turned away from the light, we will always have shadows before us, and the shadow will grow longer and larger. Only when we turn towards the Lord can we leave all shadows behind us and step toward the light. Through the Lord's forgiveness and the cleansing the blood of Christ, God will remember our sin no more, our failures and value when we can learn from them and not repeat the same mistakes. It is a journey that never been taken, but God leading us staked out by stages means everything that comes to us is of God's love in His time by His way. May the faithful God grant us a humility to listen, obey, and work on it. The third principle of God's guidance is discern. It's discern God's unique work at every station, as today's passage say, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. When the elder of Ephesus came to Miletus, Paul said to them, can we read the passage together?
I serve the Lord with great humility and fear, and in the midst of fear, I think by the cross of my Jewish forms, when Paul had finished speaking, he bent down over all of them and prayed.
Thank you. Paul did not just rely on the Lord to be able to overcome his suffering when he was persecuted by Jews. He also relied on the Lord so that he could keep moving forward when he was basked in God's grace and loved by many. We realize that when the Israelites journeys through the 42 stations in the wilderness, that they experienced suffering, and too many. For 3 days they went without water in the desert and was already miserable, but when they finally find water in Marah, it turns out turns out to be bitter. It was as if God doesn't listen to their prayers. So at times in our lives, we may also feel that God doesn't make sense. We may ask God, how could you torture your children like this when you promise us that you would be with us, and the pillows of cloud and the fire would be by our side? Why won't you give us water to drink, and why won't you allow us to suffer? Have we all had moments like this? But again, God didn't tell us to stay in Mara forever. There are two ways which God brings us out of the suffering. One way is change the environment and remove the difficulty. He provides us with his solution, such as throwing into a log into the water when the bitter water becomes sweet. God has enabled our environment to change and allowed us our difficulty to pass. The other way is to change our life. The difficulty are still there, but he makes us can rest in his presence peace, and he enable us to go on the heights. It is grace to enter Elam from Mara, where there are 12 springs of water and 7 palm trees. Everything is so good. When we reach those streams in the desert, we may say, how good is there? Oh, though it is good here, let's not go any further. This place is good enough. But then we will find that God doesn't tell us stay there. Instead, he tells us to rise up, all of us. Paul said, we will grow up all things. We will grow up all things, also, all things into Christ, who is the head, to grow in suffering as well as in God's grace, to come out of failure, but also come out of triumph. Every station, God has his unique work on us. May God's wisdom build us so that we can discern his works and hear and bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. The possibility had a retreat two weeks ago. It is very precious time. We share God's word, share our own personality, pray together, work together. We look back on the pastoral, the situation, and we confess our sin and repent for each other. So we also look forward that God's guidance and working in our church. We believe that to rise up and continue to go forward, and that is what we as children of God have to keep on practicing. So, brothers and sisters, indeed, the Christian life is like a journey from station to station. Every station comes with its special experience and meaning. So, wherever we are in our journey, may God help us, each of us, elevate our perspective, and let us not linger in the proud of victory, nor live in the shadow of failure, and not to stretch it in painful situation, nor merely relish in our blessing, and what more not live in futile circle. Let us rise up and move toward the promised land, means abundant life in Christ. For our journey is great. Our God hasn't completed his work on us. So as the author of Hebrew exhorts us, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. May the Spirit of God renew us. Let's pray. Gracious Savior, thank you. You love us so much. For us, die for us, and rise for the death to bring true living hope. Help us keep our eyes on you and strive throughout our lives to gain Christ, so that we may enter the kingdom of God in abundance. We pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.